I don't think a Cockney could sing it in Cockney, you know. You can't sing. Then if you plan it, it changes again. You couldn't possibly change it again. So I only introduce it into the, you can raise your house of ghosts and that without reflectors. Yeah. I can bring it in the slow parts, you see. And then, but of course, then you get three of us singing in unison. We sing, while love the housemaid lights her kitchen fire. This is Doyle Kern, you see. But I'm saying, well, I love the ass maid, lots of kitchen. You see, well, I get my voice beside her singing, well, I love the housemaid, and I say, ass maid, you see. And it jars like that, and it sends us up, you see. It's really totally funny together. It's not, I don't think it's Gilbert and Sullivan a bit, but I think Gilbert and Sullivan would be the first to approve of it.
Yes,
actually,
I think so.
You know.
Yes.
But no, I've had many a laugh at that, really, you know. Because at first I didn't know how to say a house as a cognitive. I just didn't know how to do it. But I just said, well, he says it like that, I'll try. And I didn't sort of say to any Cockney, tell me how you say this or that. I suppose it comes from watching television or something like this. You've heard a Cockney in the films or something, that's how they speak, and so there I am.
Who chooses which one you're going to do at each particular place?
Oh, I think that's all arranged by the office.
It is.
Really.
Mm. I know you've missed Iolanthe out this time.
Yes, well, it was to be reproduced. Mm. But of course it's in the balance at present because we're busy with this film and things like that, and it has to wait a little longer. And furthermore, that there's an awful lot of work going off in the company. I mean, we have about 14 or 15 people joined us this tour. And that's a whole set of new principals, of new understudies for the principals. And indeed, I think three new principals. So there's a lot of work there, getting the understudies ready to go on. So they're full up with understudy rehearsals every day. So there's no time to do the other. And then to get the company fixed and set, so that if anything goes on or off, if there's a principal off, he can go on quickly. I mean, I've noticed in the past when people have... I've seen people go on for the first scene of theirs, and not being able to carry on. And they've probably suspected that he wasn't well or seen it. And by the time that his next entrance comes in, it's the understudy that goes on in his costume. The skip is there with all the costumes for the understudies in case anybody breaks the neck or whatever, you know. And they're on immediately. I mean, I've seen so much of this, of people finishing the shows and things like that, and there's all that sort of backstage work that has to be done too, you know. The wardrobe are marvellous, I think, you know. I can say nothing but praise for them. I mean, when I go on at nights, my costume is there, everything. The shirt is clean, it's ironed, it's pressed, and my handkerchief is there, my socks are there, the shoes are clean, everything is there. You know, the costumes are superb. I mean, that the one that I wear in Iolanthe that you mentioned, I mean, that two cloaks I have, they're both insured, I think, for £1,000 each. Because I don't think it's so much the value of the thing, it's just that they can't be had anymore. I mean, they're special work. I mean, it was an actual Chancellor's costume, as indeed so was the First Lord of the Admiralty. And that weighs a ton. I mean, to lift it off, I've got to lift it off the peg with two hands. I can't lift it off with one, you know. It's too heavy. But once it's on, it's so well balanced and so well made that I don't feel the weight on it, you know. I mean, point of fact, I think the Coco costume, which looks quite light to you, is indeed very heavy. It's ever so many thicknesses of material and linings and stuff that it's heavy. And playing in America in times with these costumes, which are all right for the English climate sometimes, that we played, it was in Pasadena. We opened with Mikado, and there was no cooling system in the theatre, and it was 100 and something in the shade, you can imagine. And I was going through six vests a night, you know. And I said, it's no good, you must get me some fan or something in this room, I'm dying, you know. It was just dripping off me. So they brought me two great fans. I swear they were Hollywood wind machines. And I switched them on, and all it did was fling me beside them. You know, and I mean, they were vast, but it wasn't cooling me. It was just circulating the hot air, in fact, point of fact, you know.
You have simplified the costumes quite a lot in the Mikado, haven't you? over the years, and the characters have been simplified, I think.
Well, I don't know. My costume's exactly the same.
Yours
as
is, yes,
been, yes,
but the Mikado, for instance, and Katisha.
I thought they were the same.
Well, Katisha is not so horrible, is she?
Oh, that way, yes.
Yes. That is more makeup, dear.
I think, than costume. I see what you mean now.
Yes.
That was Anthony Besh's idea, that he didn't want it to be as ugly so much as plain, you see. She's more like a plain Japanese woman.
Yes.
More than she was really quite grotesque at one time.
Yes. Now, did the change happen when character changed, the person changed?
No, that was purely the producer that wanted that out
yes.
of them, you see. The same
yes.
as he wanted me as a Cockney.
Yes.
He wanted Katisha not to be so horrific.
She was grotesque,
yes, yes.
wasn't she? And the Mikado was enormous.
Yes, yes. I come to think about it, I don't think that whether I agree with it or not. I think I can see the point, but I think that it's like a stage license. It's like the goodies and the baddies, really. And I think that the more horrific she is, the more funny it is for me reacting. I mean, if I'm playing, I need a strong woman there that's going to really frighten me on the
yes.
stage when I'm playing a part that's got to be henpecked.
Exactly.
You know, that'll say, so? And then I will shrink, you see. But I never quite get enough of that. I want more of that. And then I can, then it's easier for me.
Mm.
All my reactions now are forced, you see. But it's me that's doing it, not the voice that's coming to me.
Well, the entrance of the Mikado, for instance, many years ago, that was breathtaking.
Yes.
I mean, the Mikado, it was really something.
Yes,
now,
yes,
over
yes.
the years,
yes.
that's been so simplified
yes.
that you have
yeah.
to sort of say, which one is the Mikado?
Yes. And I was talking about this to somebody the other day, and I said, you know, I could play the Mikado, you see, to a smile from him. I said, yes, I could. I said, but it wouldn't be the Mikado that is now. I said that, but I could be just as frightening. It wouldn't be anything like the big Mikado. It would be a small, sinister, slimy little
yes,
man.
Yes.
It could be just as horrific, you
yes,
see.
Much
more so,
from.
Probably, you see.
Yeah.
But, of course, it gets a sort of fashion. I think Dadel Fancourt set this particular Mikado.
The enormous.
And so they want it played like that, you see.
Yes.
But, I mean, I couldn't play it like they play it now. I couldn't do that. But
yes.
I could certainly be slimy and it like what a Japanese man would be.
Yes.
I mean, the Mikado, I should think, the genuine Mikado was never a big man because, I mean,
no.
Japanese are not a big race, are
no,
they?
No, absolutely.
I wouldn't be fat enough, but I could pad myself a little.
Yes, Kenneth Sanford the other night looked quite slim. I'm
yes.
so accustomed to seeing him as Pooh Bar.
Yes, yes, yes.
He looked quite slim the other night.
Yes. He's a good sort. He's mm. Of course, I think if there was any part that I was going to scratch anybody's eyes out for, really, had it been a male part, would have been Mad Margaret. That's the part that I would have liked. You know,
yes.
I only wish it had been a Mad Morris or something
that's
like this.
Right.
Then I would have.
Yes.
I wanted it, you see.
Yes.
Because that's a gem, I think. That's a little gem of a part. That.
And you've lost Peggy.
Yeah, lost Peggy, yes. But, I mean, I'm awfully lucky when you think. I mean, all my parts are very good parts, I think. Is it that, I mean, I don't know whether you've seen Princess Ida.
Now, it's one I haven't seen.
Well,
I haven't seen it about
King,
the only one.
King Gama, I play King Gama, who is the sort of twisted monster all awry, they call him, and I've got a hump on my back and a dead hand and a club foot and my mouth's all twisted and this sort of business. Well, of course, when I first took over, it was all right, but I think it was Miss Carter. Somebody said, I was rather too nice for this. Well, you see, I felt sorry for the poor fellow, you know. I mean, as I would feel anybody that was a cripple and this sort. And I could understand his mind being twisted with all this that he had to go through.